You know, God is good, right?
And hey, Brother Hobb, get hooked up here and see if you can hear me.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
No.
You can? Okay. So, tonight we're going to, hey, do you remember your grandmother had a rocking chair? You remember your grandmother getting a rocking chair? She'll rock backwards, she'll rock forwards, and sometimes she'll fall asleep. So tonight, we're going to study like being in a rocking chair. I just don't want you to go to sleep. We're going to go forward in some scriptures, and we're going to go backwards into some scriptures. So let us turn our Bibles to Zechariah. Zechariah is that next to Haggai. Haggai. Zechariah chapter 1. And what we're going to do, we're going to look at a number of things. And we've been looking at obedience and following God's laws, how the children of Israel had a problem of obeying God's law. Zechariah chapter 1. And Zechariah chapter 1, let's break this up, if you don't mind. I take the first few verses and someone else can pick it up. Zechariah's the night vision. God called to return. God called to return. A call to return to the Lord. In mid-autumn, first of all, let me stop this. And I want you guys to see this. This Bible that I have, and I know a lot of you probably said, Brother Hobbs, what kind of Bible you use? It's what you call a... No. Let's switch it on this side over here and see what we got. Okay. What about now?
Yes.
Okay. All righty. So this Bible that I be studying from, it's a life application study Bible. And another Bible that I study at, several Bibles that I study out of course, a King James as well. This Bible is called Every Man Bible. Well, this Every Man Bible, it teaches those who followed God in the Bible and who kept God's promise. And they lived, even though they wasn't perfect, but they lived a life. And the life that they lived, they was able to lead others to the Lord. And they was able to live a life, even though they sacrificed, a lot of them sacrificed their lives. And a lot of them was went through a lot for serving the Lord. But this Bible tells you how to be faithful to the church, faithful to your wife, how to walk before your kids and be an example. Be an example to your brothers and sisters in Christ, because the way we walk in this life and the way we live this life, it's either we be a good influence or bad influence on our brothers and sisters. So this is a healthy Bible. Men, you ought to try to pick one of these up. It'll help you quite a bit. Every Man's Bible, a New International Version of it. Every Man's Bible. It got a lot of good stuff in it. And so this Life Application Bible, it's a real good Bible to also study too. So, okay, let's get started here. In mid-autumn, of the second year of King Darius reigned, the Lord gave this message to the prophet Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Idal. The Lord was very angry with your ancestors. Therefore, say to the people, this is what the Lord Almighty say, return to me and I will return to you. Say the Lord Almighty. Do not be like your ancestors who would not listen when the early prophet said to them, this is what the Lord Almighty say, turn from your evil ways and stop all your evil practice. Now someone can pick up at verse 5. Huh? I'm finished. Oh, okay. Go ahead. Huh?
Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets preached, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds. But they did not hear, nor heed, said the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? Yet, surely my words will not stand, which I commanded by the servants of the prophets, did they not believe the prophets? So they returned and said, just as the Lord of hosts determined to do our blood, according to our way, and according to our deeds, so he has dealt with us. Keep going.
If someone can pick it up from there. Yeah, keep going. Yeah, to 20. It was who? That's the end of the chapter. Here we look at Zechariah and Haggai. They was both prophet at the same time. You know, we studied Haggai chapter 1, Haggai chapter 2, and it was about rebuilding the Lord's temple. And when I mean about going backwards and going forward, what happened is that the children of Israel went into captivity, and they was there for 70 years. And by them being there 70 years, Jeremiah told them in Jeremiah chapter 29, get comfortable, hang out down there. Well, he didn't say that. Just get comfortable, marry, and just let God work with you while you're down there. And so what God did, God allowed them to go into captivity for 70 years. But say to yourself, how did we get there? We got there by being disobedient. If you go back, if you go back, and if you look at chapter 11 of Genesis, when they said to themselves, let us build a tower to heaven. That way we can have our own, we can do this and we can do that. But what God says, ha, I see what you're doing. Let us go down and confuse them. Let us go down and change their language. So today you have different types of language. Men have always tried to get away or to get by without listening to the Lord. That is a danger. Moses in Exodus, when he went and they asked him, who made you ruler over us? Who made you ruler over us? Actually, well, who are you? Wow. Here's a man sent by God to help them. Well, who are you? That kind of attitude got them in a lot of trouble. Different prophets began to come and tell them. And Daniel chapter 9, verses, I think 1 or 2, I think, chapter 4, I think, when Daniel said, I heard about Jeremiah prophesying about Jerusalem. I heard about this. Now, Jeremiah has continued to telling the children of Israel, you are going into captivity. They wouldn't listen. They ignored. They wouldn't listen. They ignored. My point is this, church. God have always sent people our way to warn us about things. And today we still have that same attitude. Who are you to tell me anything? We hear the word of God preached from the pulpit. We hear the word teach from the Bible class. And a lot of time we like, no, I really don't want to listen to that. That's what you call an arrogant attitude. That's what you call a spirit of disobedience. And God have always required for us to obey his prophets, the real prophets, not the false prophets, to send a message of encouragement, send a message to tell us, to warn us that if we don't stop doing what we're doing, there's a price to pay. Here in Zechariah, Zechariah came with a message while rebuilding the temple. Zechariah began to describe Zechariah by describing 8 visions that came to him at night. Then he gave a collection of messages about growing of Joshua, about the crowning of Joshua. Joshua was one of the priests that was in exile with the children of Israel. You're going to hear me talk about Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was in 1st Haggai and 2nd Haggai. You hear me spoke about Zechariah and Haggai and Ezra chapter 1. Let's go to Ezra chapter 1, if you don't mind, please. Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1. Can you guys hear me? Can you guys hear me okay? Okay. Okay. Ezra chapter 1, and we'll take a look at that. And we, like I said, we're going backwards and then we're moving forward. You guys have Ezra chapter 1. The group, the first group of exile returned to the land. Cyrus allowed the exile to return to the land to rebuild the wall. In the first year of King Cyrus of Paris, of Persia, the Lord fulfilled Jeremiah's prophecy by stirring the heart of Cyrus to put this proclamation into writing and to send it throughout the king of his kingdom. This is what King Cyrus of Persia says: "The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdom of earth and has appointed me to build him a temple at Jerusalem and in the land of Judah. All of you who are his people may return to Jerusalem and Judah to rebuild this temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, who live in Jerusalem. And may your God be with you. Those who live in any place, anywhere Jewish survivors are found should contribute toward their expenses by supplying them with silver and gold, supplying them for the journey and livestock, and as well, and a free will offering for the temple of God in Jerusalem." You see, God always showed mercy toward his people, didn't he? Cyrus, King Cyrus, and Ezra. Now, Ezra also was in captivity in Babylon. So you look at what we're doing tonight, church. We're hitting here a little bit, and we're touching here a little bit. But the thing here tonight is, through all of this, there was one thing in mind, and the whole thing about them being in exile in Babylon and the prophet telling the people they must obey God, this thing have always been about Jesus. It has always been about Jesus. God needed a people which Jesus can come through, not anybody. He chose the children of Israel. He wanted Israel to be an example for other nations, just like he wants you and I to be an example for the world. When they look at you and I, they should see Jesus. They should see us. They should see us walking. They should see the light in us. And we should be able to tell them who Jesus is and what he done for us. So the children of Israel had a price to pay. Stiff-necked, God called them. Stiff-necked people. Disobedience. And there was time that God had to destroy some of them because of disobedience. God may not destroy you and I today, but he would take something from us. He would cause us something to happen in our lives. You know, when we read in the first chapter of Haggai, he took everything away. You couldn't get warm. The clothes you had on, you couldn't get warm. Your pockets had holes in it. Whatever you try to grow, things you're trying to grow wouldn't grow, because I did this to you because you did not have your priorities straight before me. And Zerubbabel and Joshua, God had pointed them to return and begin to rebuild the temple of the Lord. Now, when you go back and we look at King Solomon, when he built the temple, the first temple, had all this lovely and beautiful stuff inside the temple. You see, sometimes we can get so full of ourselves and miss the whole point. You can get so full of yourself, thank you this and thank you that, and you miss the whole point. God don't need nobody full of themselves. He just needs people to hear him, to believe in him. He wants to use us for his glory. That is the whole purpose of him creating us, to serve him, to believe in him, and to carry out his will. Listen, God has a home for us. God has a home for us. And if we just stay on this Christian highway, we can make it there. But we gotta be obedient. We gotta follow his instructions. The children of Israel made terrible mistakes, hard-headed, disobedient to God's word. Why was that? Why is that? I want you to think about this. The devil was disobedient in heaven. He refused to obey God. And he was expelled from heaven along with some of his followers. So if he, the evil one, the snake, as they call him in Genesis, disobeyed God, and that same devil calls for the children of Israel and will cause for you and I today to disobey God. That's how much he hates God. Because God took everything from him. He had power. Yes, Satan had power to influence you and I to do wrong things. But God is more powerful than any devil we face today. That is why the children of Israel could face tomorrow if they only put their trust in him. There was kings. There was wicked kings that led Israel into idolatry. There was wicked king that lied to the children of Israel. And Israel had to pay the price along with the wicked kings. So, moving forward, Zechariah and Haggai chapter 1 and chapter 2, we find here that King Darius in mid-autumn of the second year of King Darius' reign, the Lord gave this message to the prophet Zechariah. Tell my people to return to me, and I will return to them. God is full of love, isn't he? God is full of love because we all deserve to be wiped out. I'm just being honest. Brother Hobbs, I deserve to be wiped out because of his grace and his mercy. And it have always been about his grace and his mercy. Zechariah said this to the children of Israel. Your ancestors and their prophets are now long dead. But all the things I said through my servant, the prophet, happened to your ancestors just as they would as a result, they repented and said, we have received what we deserve from the Lord Almighty. He has done what he has said he would do. Let us go to Daniel chapter chapter 9. Go with me to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, verses 4. Daniel prayed for his people. You know, Daniel, it was a blessing that the exile had Daniel there in Babylon with them. It says here, we'll start at verse 2. During the first year of the reign, I, Daniel, was studying the writing of the prophet. I learned from the word of the Lord, as recorded by Jeremiah the prophet, that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and plead with him in prayer and fasting. I wore rough sackcloth and sprinkled myself with ash. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, you are a great and awesome God. You always fill your promise of unfolding love to those who love you and keep your command. But we have sinned and done wrong. We have rebelled against you and scorned your command and regulation. We have refused to listen to your servants, the prophets, who spoke your message to our kings and princes and ancestors and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are in the right. But our face are covered with shame. Just as you see us now, this is true of us all, including the people of Judah and Jerusalem and all Israel scattered near afar, wherever you have driven us because of our disloyalty to you. O Lord, we and our king, princes, and ancestors are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. But the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving. Even though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the Lord our God, for we have not followed the laws he given us through the servants, the prophets. All Israel had disobeyed your law and turn away, refusing to listen to your voice. You see what Daniel's saying? Daniel prayed for the people, said, Lord, listen, we sinned, we disobeyed, and whatever we got coming to us, we brought that on ourselves. We didn't listen to the prophets. The prophets came and brought us a message. We refused to listen to them. Lord, we rebelled against you. The Prince of the Princes, the Prince of Peace, is God Himself. No human power could defeat the King. No human power could defeat the King whom Daniel saw in his vision, but God would bring him down. Listen, every wicked king, every king that thought they were somebody and refused to listen to God, God brought them down. And it is the same way today. It is the same way today. Let's go back to Zechariah. Born in Babylon during the exile, Zacharias was fairly, he was a young man when he came back to return to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, 538 BC, King Cyrus of of Persia has defeated Babylon in 539 and had decreed the captive in exile could return to their homeland. Zechariah and Haggai were among the first to leave. Zechariah, a prophet and a priest, began ministering at the same time of Haggai in 520 BC to 518 BC. His first prophecy was delivered 2 months after Haggai prophesied. Now you see that how Haggai and Zechariah, both of them, was prophesying to the children of Israel. What happened is this, family, that Zechariah was telling what is going to take place. Not only was Zechariah telling them to rebuild the wall, but Zechariah was also beginning to tell them there was a Messiah coming. There was a Messiah coming. And so when we look at Zechariah's encouragement to people to continue rebuilding the temple, the temple had been hollow for nearly 10 years. Zechariah combated the people's spiritual apathy, despairs over pressure from the enemies and disencouragement about the smaller scale of the new temple foundation. Neglect of our spiritual priority can be just as what? Could be just as terrible as it is today. When we neglect today for fulfilling God's purpose, when we neglect of fulfilling God's purpose, there is a danger. The family faith, like father, like son, implies that children turn out like their parents. But here, God warned Israel not to be like their forefathers. He warned them not to be like their forefathers because their forefathers had disobeyed him. They worship idols. God is a jealous God. He warned them about worshiping idols. He told them if they did not stop worshiping idols, that they would go into captivity. He warned them, but they didn't listen. The words of God had spoken through prophets a century earlier before captivity also applied to Zechariah's generation, and they are still relevant to you and I today when we disobey. We are not up on the law, but we are up on the grace and truth. And when we don't believe the word of God about Jesus coming into the world and die for our sins, that's a slap in God's face. That's a slap in his face. As they are still relevant to us today because God's word endure, we must study, we must apply every word because old words from the Old Testament is relevant today because we can learn from the scriptures. We can learn what happened to those people, the Israelites back then. This is why God's word in the book teaches us today. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that come a time when men want to endure sound doctrine, but have itching ears. They want to do their own thing. They don't want to hear what you have to say. What you're saying, I don't want to hear that. Jesus said in chapter 24, 37 through 39, it'll be just like the day of Noah. People will be eating, drinking, doing whatever. They don't want to hear that today. Being disobedient. People were disobedient back then. They're disobedient today. Just like a child wants disobedience towards the parents. When you tell a child, don't touch that stove, leave it alone. Don't touch that stove. Leave it alone. You turn your back, he or she touch that stove, they get murked. They start hogging. I told you not to do that. That's what God told Israel. I'm telling you not to do that. But because of his grace and his mercy, because of his grace and his mercy, do you not know God had already set this thing in motion? But he knew that we was going to be disobedient. He knew that we had an adversary. He knew that we had an adversary, Satan, going to try to take us off our throne. But he wanted us to realize, in spite of what the devil tried to do, he got us. God got us. People don't realize when you start this journey, you're going to have some rollovers. When you start this journey, you're going to have some accidents. When you start this journey, the devil himself is going to be the biggest road rager. Let me tell you something. By obeying and listening, there is a reward wait for us in heaven. When you travel this highway, when you travel this highway to heaven, you may exit off, but when you repent, God allow you to get back on. But what you do, you don't want to exit and run into a dead-end street, because many Christians have exit off of this road to heaven and ran into a dead-end street and never got back on. You stay on this heavenly street until you see the exit to heaven. Then you come up. And the angels are waiting for you. The angels are waiting for you. This is what God wants us to do. In spite of the children of Israel being in captivity, God still had a plan. And that plan was for Jesus, our Savior, to come through that line. To come through that line. Satan tried to stop it. Satan called for Adam and Eve to obey God. They obeyed. They disobeyed him by being disobedient. But God still allowed them to live. Because why? He had something in store. And what he had in store was Jesus. Was Jesus. Was Jesus. It had been all about Jesus all along. The prophets began to talk about Jesus. Isaiah said, "Who hath believed our report?" Ah, he grew up like a tender branch. He was bruised for our iniquity. The weight of the world was upon his shoulders. Oh, I'm telling you, Jesus was bruised. In Genesis 3, the Bible tells us he would bruise. How was that? It would bruise his head and would bruise his heel. Listen, Jesus was bruised on the cross for you and I. He was obedient to the cross. Obedience even unto death. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be obedient even unto death. When we look at all of these prophecies, Zechariah, Zephaniah, Obadiah, all of them was talking about the children of Israel. Here we look at Zechariah telling us today what we should do. Today, Zechariah tell us to follow God's command. Today, Zechariah, he's not here today, but his word's still alive. Today, Zechariah tell us it's a better day coming. Today, Zechariah let us know that, listen, if we return to God, he will return unto us. If we obey him, there is a life after death, and that life is, standing before God Almighty. when we look at the prophecy, and when we look at God's people living under his judgment for 70 years during that captivity in Babylon. But here, God spoke words of comfort and assurance. God promised that when we return to him, he will heal us. He would heal us. Hosea 6 and 1, if you feel wounded and crushed by the event of your life, turn to God so he can heal and comfort you. Although the pagan nation afflicted God's people beyond terribly afflicted them, God was not powerless to stop them. God was not powerless to stop them. God used these nations to punish his sinful people. When the nation went beyond his plan, then God dealt with the nation who went beyond messing with his people. God dealt with the nation that overused, over mistreatment of his people. The horns was the four world power that oppressed Israel. Egypt, Ezra, Babylon, and the Mede Persia. The four blacksmiths in 120 were the nation used to overthrow Israel's enemies. God raised them up to judge the oppressor of his people. The man with the measuring line symbolized the hope, a rebuilt Jerusalem, and a restored people. The man would be measuring to mark out the boundaries for the foundation. See Jeremiah 1 and 6. See 1 and 6 in Jeremiah 31 and 38 through 40. Listen, God used nation to punish his people, but when they went too far, he dealt with them. God had to show his people something. He had to show them, listen, I love you, but you're not going to get away with this. You're not going to get away with this. He sent prophets to warn his people. Today, God sent preachers and teachers to warn us how we live or how we treat each other. As I come to a close, let me share this with you. When we mistreat or talk about or misuse or do bad things to our brothers and sisters, that's a slap in the face to God. It's a slap in the face to God, because why is this? You and I ought to look out for each other. We ought to look out, whether or not, we ought to look out for each other. And you know what the key thing of it is? When we don't do that, God is going to get us. I'm telling you, God is going to get us. Because one of the things that God sees our heart, he knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're going to do it before we do it. And I'm here to tell you, the same God was back then is the same God is today. God is nobody to play with. God is nobody to play with. I'm telling you, there's a heaven and there's a hell. I don't know about you. I want to stand before him. And he said, well done. Come on in. You're welcome home. That should be our goal. Learn from what happened to the children of Israel. All this stuff wasn't written for nothing. It was written for us to learn that we should live better, we should do better, we should act better, we should love better, we should forgive better. All of these things, you know what? If we don't do those things, those very things will keep us in captivity. until we repent and God bring us out. Sometimes we allow ourselves to go into our own spiritual captivity by the way we behave. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to a close today, Father, thank you. I hope that we all learn something.